To think that is to be an economic fundamentalist in the worst possible way. This is Richard Wolff for Democracy at Work, and I look forward to speaking with you again next week.
Listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
You're listening to Rose City Native Radio, Low Res Edition. Stick with us as we play you music, throwback interviews, and more. Stay safe, wash your hands, wear a mask, and we'll see you on the other side, Indian Country.
Brothers and sisters, gather your feathers,
gather your feathers,
'cause we about to fly, 'cause we about to fly. Brothers and sisters,
brothers and sisters,
gather your feathers,
gather your feathers,
'cause we about to fly. Oh, we about to fly.
Put 'em up, put 'em up, y'all.
Showing the youth how to nurture their truth through the craft that they practice. The power within they can access. If you see it and dream it, put all of your heart, intention, and see it and mean it, then surely you'll be it. Take all of the negative from within you and free it. Empty your vessel, reach for the energy of what the West holds. Release all those thoughts that you've wrestled and feel. Light as those feathers when you pass your threshold. We are more than what flesh holds. We are spiritual beings, so gather your feathers. Things do get better. Mother Earth holds the weight of it all. If we would just let her, we're taking the pieces to time. Together, refine it together, we intertwine it together, because in this bind it should never feel like we were blinded forever. We shouldn't mind it together, alignment is better. Whether or not we're lost in this void, we'll find it together. We've weathered this weather, because if you didn't know, then now you know. We're storytellers, reincarnated energies, respectively term earth dwellers. We about them past lives with their fast lives, to the ancestors who have passed pipes, and everything in between. A human being connected to that life.
Brothers and sisters,
brothers and sisters,
gather your feathers,
gather your feathers,
'cause we about to fly, 'cause we about to fly. Brothers and sisters,
brothers and sisters,
gather your feathers,
gather your feathers,
'cause we about to fly. Oh, we about to fly.
frequency, had to hone in it mentally, had to grow from an infancy, get to know entity for centuries and centuries. Our identities adventure, dark givers of a blessed penalty, the epitome of genocidal history. So asymmetry is built to be filled with guilt and low self-esteem. But we know it's up to be spirit beings, share the surface of melting middle and dope and take your dreams. If we honor with gifts, it'll give us strength every scene. We can hype the whole scene like a microphone theme. We just born red, rage against the machine, controlling the angst that's trapped in between the spirit world and the laptop screen. As we rap on the track, wild wolf pack bots, got your wax in the back with a mop, hats off to the team. We are not only apathetic, we are fully energetic, wholly interconnected, kinetic. We set it prophetic like a Cessna set it, flip poetic with our genetics. Your brothers and sisters, let's get it. A better world for me, youth, elders, animals, wider than land is where we headed. Ayy,
it's where we headed, y'all. It's where we headed, ayy. Because in this bind, it should never feel like we were blinded forever. We shouldn't mind it together. Alignment is better. Whether or not we're lost in this void, we'll find it together. We've weathered this weather. Because if you didn't know, then now you know. We're storytellers. Reincarnated energies, respectively, turn earth dwellers. We about them past lives with their fast lives. To the ancestors who have passed pipes and everything in between. A human being connected to that life. From the flame glowing again, my flow is a blend of storms and wind, transforms the skin and forms the dream, conforms to warmth around my limbs. The season can be seen as grim, darkest days get a spark ablaze, carving my heart in the darkest cave. We evolve, dreams these do fall, grief for all in one way, going deep in the dark and asleep it off, dreaming a lot and feeling a lot, need to peel it off, shed skin, introspection, and connection to all these thoughts, need to bear medicine cause all my head spins, need to settle into a place where I'm resting, digesting everything that's been stressed and trust the energy, I'm set for spring, gonna spread my wings, but right now I must rest on things, don't push or step on things, don't rush or skip steps on anything, let it come naturally on everything, lay in bed and dream, be patient, I mean, don't pace it, don't chase it, don't waste it, place it in a space that's clean.
Taking the journey to the cave.
To the cave, yeah, yeah, to the cave, hey.
To the cave,
yeah, yeah, to the cave, hey.
Taking the journey to the cave.
To
and brought me peace of mind to exactly repelling negative energy off me. My mind, body, spirit, and emotions got the ability to heal or ability to stop me. I journey to the cave to seek some introspection. My problems in relation to the world are mere reflections of every little piece of self, our own imperfections. In this darkest change of season, my helper seeks protection. I am a helper, and my spirit feels the mass oppression. This journey to the caves, a quest for all unanswered questions. I offer thanks to all creation. I ain't even flexing, just giving this some space so I could see the intersections. There's more rebirth than death, everything is ending. And both sides of the spectrum go hand in hand. Bare medicine reinforces who I am. Part prairie people and part get sand.
Take a journey to the cave.
To the cave, yeah, yeah, to the cave.
It is now time for our unnamed talking session that we still haven't figured out with Nick Yellowhorse. Nick, hey, Hoka, hey, thanks for joining.
Hey there.
Hi, and I apologize for the yowling in the corner. It is my youngest son who is very needy for no reason because he knows when he needs to be fed, and that is not now. Anyways, back to this. The joys of recording at home, everybody. We got some stuff for you today. We're talking statues. We're talking more on white privilege. We're talking, what else are we talking, Nick? I forgot the third talking.
I think we were talking about opening up with COVID and everything.
Oh, yeah, and that too. We're talking COVID. We're talking government overstepping tribal sovereignty again, as usual. We're talking all kinds of things and more. Where to start? Let's see. We could start. You want to start talking statues, Nick? Let's talk statues.
Yeah.
So, statues have been going down like crazy, like dominoes all across Turtle Island, which has been pretty awesome to see. We've been seeing a lot of statues of southern monuments being taken down, or not southern monuments, but like, what's the word I'm looking for? Confederate monuments being taken down, and slave owner statues being taken down, and we're also seeing Columbus being taken down, and boy, is that just the best thing to see on my timeline when I wake up. It is wonderful. There's a video from Minneapolis of them taking down a Columbus statue, and they did a round dance around him. Statues have been beheaded, covered in red paint, and then pulled down. There was a statue of a, I think it was a Confederate monument, I think in Louisiana, where they hung it from a light post. That was a powerful video to watch. In D.C., they lit one on fire, which was also a very powerful video to watch. It's just been really, it brings up a lot of feels watching these monuments die, watching them fall and be broken, tossed into rivers like they did in the U.K. It's a good feeling, honestly. It's a cleansing that I think we really needed, and something that we need to bring up more. Most of these Confederate monuments, keep in mind, they weren't even put up after the war. A lot of these Confederate monuments, a lot of the namings of these Air Force bases and things like this, this all happened in like the 20s, the 30s, up to the 50s and the 60s, at heights of civil rights movement. like era. And these were quick and cheaply made, and they were honestly just a power move. It was really just a power move at those times where people of color were being more vocal, specifically black people were being more vocal and had more freedoms than they had before, and were fighting to gain more freedoms. And these monuments were just, it was just a very poorly played out power move, and it isn't heritage. These are also the lowest quality statues, some of them being just glorified tinfoil paper mache, to be honest. Like, these materials are made out of the cheapest things ever. It's not a bronze statue. It's not like we're tearing down, like, you know, this heavily expensive whatever. Like, no, a lot of these are really cheaply made. And again, we're just there as a power move to try and remind folks, like, hey, remember, like, where you're at and who's, you know, whose territory you're on, blah, 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 which they got that wrong, too, because, of course, it's not Confederate territory. It's Indian land, like all land. Nick, any thoughts on these statues coming down?
Yeah, I wanted to say something about how I find it weird that that would think this is a good thing to keep the statues, because their weird mental gymnastics of going about was, oh, if we keep them up, then we know where we've been and therefore know how terrible our history is. And I was like, I was thinking, these are people that I know that I thought had a better grasp of understanding the, why these statues need to come down. And I find it, or at least I find that idea to keep them up to show as an obelisk of our terrible past in America is a pretty moronic. I don't think that's a good idea or even something that you should entertain, because these people don't need to be glorified in any way, fashion, or manner, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, think of it this way, right? Like, there are no Nazi monuments in Germany to remember the horrible things that happened. There's Auschwitz, but there's no statues of German soldiers or German, like, no dedication statues of you know, the Third Reich. There's no Air Force bases, or you know what I mean? Like, it's not, the things that they kept are not necessarily, aren't glorifying them, but are, this is like the brutality of it. And so some would argue, like, oh, well, then that's why we need to keep plantations. But it's like, if you're going to keep a plantation, then maybe keep it as a museum to show the horrors of slavery. But plantations nowadays, they are not, they're like a third museum, and the rest of it is like vacation spot. Have your wedding here, wedding destinations, you know? Like, they're glorified, they're glamorized. It's always been like that. There's no point in having statues of generals who lost wars, pretty badly, if we're being honest. There's no need for that, and that makes no sense. It's kind of funny because it's a similar argument. I wasn't going to talk about it, but I'm going to kind of bring it in just a little bit. It's a similar argument that you hear when we talk about Native mascots and Native representation in popular media. Some of the arguments we hear is, well, this is honoring Natives. Like, how do we keep the memory of Natives alive if we can't wear headdresses made out of chicken feathers and paint our faces red when we go to see football? You know, how are we going to remember the horrors of the past if we can't dress up as Pocahontas for Halloween? Like, this is actual, like, arguments we've heard, and I've heard personally before, and we've seen before, as the argument of Native mascots and Native imagery come up, is, well, how else are we going to remember this history when it makes no sense? You're not remembering it accurately. You're remembering it through this warped vision of this warped reality, because I'm not red. Nick, you're not red. We're pretty brown, I mean, we're pretty brown for living in Oregon.
Yeah, until we, you also have to think about how... Sorry, I was just going to say that you have to think about how there's... History for us is oral, and it's our tradition, whereas history for the Western society is what's written in books, and that's what they go off. And who are writing these books? Other white males, most likely. And that's what they go off of and say, oh, this person did this amazing thing and they did that amazing thing. And I mean, if you want to go that route, we have to be a little, like, I would say a little skeptical, just because we have to think about who's writing it. Because there, of course you want to write great things about your own self or say great things about your own past selves. And we have to realize that history is written from a Western white perspective, and that's what's taught all the time.
And if some of you have been listening to the show for a long time, you may recall a Columbus Day special many, many moons ago. Our friend Laura Martinez, the Apache historian, came on the show to talk about Christopher Columbus, and his legacy is nothing to be proud of, honestly. He died a failure. He died broke on an island somewhere, a complete failure. And his missions were wonky at best. And he just kind of ended up stumbling into multiple things and creating chaos wherever he went. And so, you know, you hear the argument, well, this is our heritage. We have to be proud of this, you know, champion of our heritage, of Italian heritage. But in reality, like, no, he's nothing to be proud of. Nobody who worked with him could really stand him. The queen couldn't stand him. Nothing good has been really said about this man. And even reading his own thoughts and his, and even in his own words, you can tell that this man is absolute trash from the letters he was writing to his friends. And so it's just interesting to see how we have been taught to really like hold these memories dear of like, this is something that we admire. This is something that we, you know, we'll totally forget if it's not always in our face 24/7, which is not the case, because it is always in our face 24/7 in just a different way that a lot of people seem to be blind to and are taught to be blind to. White supremacists are still here today. People who had that mindset during the Civil War are still here today. And that has infiltrated every system of our government, because our government was based on destroying black and brown lives and dominating them. And so to say that one statue coming down is erasing history is absolutely not true, because every black and brown person that is alive today that has survived the ancestors, and even that person themselves who is the statue, is living proof of that history. And that's something that we need to acknowledge and honor. You know, we are all survivors of that history, and we don't need to hold them up on a pedestal. They should be at the bottom of a lake instead, those statues. So it's good to see Columbus coming down all over the place. About time. Really is about time. Even the there's one, I think we talked very briefly about it on the show when the statue actually came up. One I was very excited about was Junipero Serra, and I don't even care if I'm misspelling or mispronouncing his name. The man is a demon. I don't care. But in Los Angeles, so this statue was like raised a lot of controversy because
Hey, Shelley, for many reasons.
In 2015, the Catholic Church decided to canonize Junipero Serra in 2015. So canonize, and correct me, Nick, if you know more details on how this works than I do, because I am not of that faith. But basically, he became a saint. They declared him a, I can't remember if it's like a martyr or a saint or something special. He was uplifted to sainthood in the Catholic Church. And there was a lot of pushback from indigenous communities about that, and a lot of controversy, but the Catholic Church did it anyway. And you may be asking, who is Junipero Serra? And I'm going to tell you. So basically, he was a Franciscan friar who served as, he was basically the principal architect of the California mission system during the era of Spanish colonization, and has been just, and he is like, yeah, he's up there with Captain Pratt of the boarding school system. He's up there with Columbus, like, of people who really, regardless of intention, just set the framework to systematically destroy indigenous people. Now, the Spanish mission system is horrible and has a horrible, bloody history. And it's, again, it's very similar, if not the same, as boarding schools, and very oppressive. And so he led the foundations for the California mission system during that time, and it was designed to convert and domesticate Native populations to Catholicism and European culture, and it was done by confining them into missions. So they were stuck at the missions all up and down the coast of California, and anyone who tried to escape was captured and beaten. Indigenous beliefs and customs were banned. Any uprisings, they, and I know this because this is my own tribe's personal history that I am not really proud of. Don't at me, Yaquis, because this is really shameful on our part, and I will continue to be embarrassed about it. Any time there was an uprising, they would sometimes send Yaquis over to California to fight against the Native uprisings at the missions, and to snuff them out. They would just pin Indian against Indian in that way, and it was disgusting. And that is how the Catholic Church took such a firm grip on California at the time during Spanish colonization, and this man was at the forefront of it. And so there's been a lot of pushbacks from indigenous communities down there, and it was just, it's just disgusting. And so they had put up a statue, and I can't remember what year, but it was fairly recently. I want to say maybe like a year after his canonization, they put up the statue of him, and too much protest, and you know, many Native folks spoke out about putting up a statue of him in LA, and they did it anyway. And so now that statue is no more. It has been pulled down. It, over the years, it's been vandalized and protested against, but finally, finally, it has come down, and it was great. And they really made it a beautiful kind of ceremony moment. There was dancing and singing, but I think that's also just been a good. It's been such a huge, like, healing thing, I think, for us as well. A lot of the times when you see the indigenous folks pulling down these statues, there's drumming, there's singing, there's smudge, there's everyone's in traditional stuff, their regalia, and it really becomes like a healing moment, a healing ceremony for our communities to pull down these idols of our oppressors, and I think it's really beautiful to see. But yeah. So those are statues. What else we got? Let's see.
Did we want to talk about the one in Albuquerque?
Yeah. So, all right, let me just get to that one real quick. Jeez. Okay. So the one in Albuquerque. So some of you may have heard of this. I think we may have shared an article about it. So for those of you who don't know, I think it was like, let me just double check on the date on that, but I believe it was last week. Last week, there was a statue of a slave trader in Albuquerque, I believe it was, yeah. And there was a protest happening. Oh, he's a conquistador. That's what it is. Thank you so much. Conquistador. Yeah. I knew he was something. Thank you. And there was protests outside of the statue, and protesters were planning on pulling down the statue. And there's a group, a white supremacy group. I'm trying to remember their name. Basically, this white supremacy group showed up to try and protect the statue, which is hilarious. They showed up with guns, and they were, you know, all dressed in their cosplay, military cosplay, and were trying to intimidate the protesters who were there. And tensions were pretty high. I was watching a live stream of it. I have a friend who was there on the front lines and live streaming it at the time. And there was a lot of flashing of guns, and a lot of the time you would hear someone yell, "Gun, gun, gun," and they would back off. And then someone would talk them down, and the gun would go back in the holster, and then everyone would reconvene. It was just a very tense moment. And at some point, someone in the crowd begins to push and shove a few women who are protesting there. And that man was pushed out of the crowd and pushed away from the protest. And they continued to try and keep him back because he was trying to start a fight. And there was a scuffle in the street, and in the scuffle, this dude shot somebody, pulled out his gun and shot somebody. And I saw that happen on a live stream, just live. And multiple people did. Thousands of people did. Thousands of people watched this man shoot another man. And there are multiple angles of it. You can practically 360 the dang thing because everyone had their phones out. And then the shot rang out, and people ran for cover. It was very, very terrifying. So it was also very frustrating because this man had just shot somebody, and he sat down on the ground, and I think National Guard showed up, or something above police showed up, at least like military level police showed up. And there was no tackling. There was no yelling. There was no pepper spraying. They just calmly, and took forever. This dude just sat down on the ground after he shot someone, just sat down on the ground and waited patiently for the cops to show up. Cops came, talked to him, took forever to call an ambulance for the man who was on the ground with a gunshot wound, as protest medics were over him trying to work, and they were yelling at the police to call an ambulance. Eventually, they did arrest some of those white supremacists, including the one who shot the man. But no tackling, no strangling, no guns were pulled on these men at all. It was all very calm, which is the exact opposite of what you see on unarmed protesters right now. So the name of the group is called New Mexico Civil Guard. It's a right-wing militia group. Who only attended it to incite violence. And these are just another group of sad military cosplay people who want to dress up and play soldier and wave their guns around, and it's pathetic. So the shooter was arrested, and at first there were charges, and I mean, there still are charges, but all of this to say, he has been released. He's been released from jail, and so he's currently not facing any charges. He was facing aggravated battery and two battery charges for allegedly assaulting three female protesters. Aggravated battery, after shooting someone live on multiple live streams. Aggravated battery charges for starting the fight with three female protesters. He was initially charged for the shooting, and then the district attorney dropped that charge, citing pending further investigation, whatever that means. It is also noted here in this article that there were about 10 primary witness videos they had of this man shooting somebody, but pending further investigation. Of course, this man claims that he fired his gun in self-defense. It's very frustrating. So they released him on his own reconnaissance, and the judge released him with pre-trial services. And in a quote from the judge, which is, I don't know, it's kind of confusing why he would say this and then release this man, but the judge, Judge Brown, released him on Monday and said, "I'm going to find that the defendant may be a danger to the community and that the state completely fails on the second prong of the analysis of whether or not there were any conditions which would reasonably protect the community," said Judge Brown. So this dude has been banned from attending any protests and using any firearms, which of course they're probably not going to enforce. And the judge called this dude stupid to bring a gun to a protest. He does not have a concealed carry permit at the time of the shooting, and so he's facing charges for that. The man who was shot by this right-wing protester made a statement on Monday's hearing. "The right to gather and air political grievances is foundational. If our government does not stand behind people exercising their First Amendment rights who are harmed and cedes the protection of our First Amendment rights to armed militia, we've lost our way and we will all be less safe as a result. It is inexcusable that the district attorney has not yet charged Mr. Baca," which is the dude who shot him, "with shooting Mr. Williams. He has all the evidence he needs to do so. It is well established that anyone who provokes an encounter and as a result of which finds it necessary to use deadly force is guilty of an unlawful homicide and cannot claim they were acting in self-defense. Mr. Baca repeatedly battered protesters without provocation and 30 seconds after pushing a woman to the ground so hard she was in the fetal position, Mr. Baca shot Mr. Williams in the back and when Mr. Williams tried to disarm him, Mr. Baca is dangerous and should not be out of custody. The family demands the district attorney charge Mr. Baca with his obvious crime immediately." So that's what you get. You can show up to a protest dressed in your military cosplay without a conceal and carry permit for your weapon and wave your weapon around, shove people to the ground, assault women and people who are trying to exercise their First Amendment rights, and then when you are finally removed from that area, you can just shoot someone in the back and claim self-defense. And then you get released a couple days later. Oh, did I mention he's white? Yeah. So that's what's going on in Albuquerque right now, which is absolutely terrifying. And my love goes out to everybody, all the community out there in Albuquerque that's dealing with this. For those of you wondering, my friend is okay as well. I made sure to check in. And it's just very triggering for everybody knowing that he is out. He's just out. And it's terrifying. It's just terrifying.
It's crazy that this man is going to these lengths in order to protect the statue of a conquistador that had murdered hundreds, if not thousands, of indigenous people, directly involved with the Yakima massacre that is felt by the Yakima people every single day. They talk about, they have a huge mission church there, and they talk about how what it took for it to be created and how their people have been enslaved basically by the Catholic Church, and how this is not a great thing that had happened to them, and they recognize that, and they tell everyone who does come visit their pueblo exactly what had happened. And this man who is shooting people because he wants that kept up. You have to think about that and how obtuse our justice system is being right now, because this judge says, oh, hey, we're going to release him. We understand he's a threat to the community, but we're giving him conditions upon his release that he won't be a threat to the community. And you're like, no, he's going to do it again. Of course he's going to do it, because he's willing to go beyond and overreach a lot of boundaries and do these types of heinous acts. And this is what we have to deal with right now.
And the state has already proven to him that he can do that without any consequence. Zero consequences. Again, you can just roll up with a gun, no concealed carry needed, and shoot someone and get out of jail maybe a week tops later. No charges, pending further investigation, even though there are 10 videos of you doing it from multiple angles. Yeah, it's infuriating. But this is the reality that we're seeing. We've seen it. This is a continuation of what we're seeing. So, on top of that, again, it's not just cops that are doing this, right? It is right-wing militias are now getting this treatment of you can shoot someone and just go home and just be done with it, and not see any consequences. We're still waiting on consequences for the murderers of Breonna Taylor. We're still waiting on consequences for so many different people. John T. Williams. We're still waiting on consequences from the man who shot John T. Williams in Seattle. We have not seen justice for so many people. Even though there's so much evidence. You could have a mountain of evidence. You could have a video of you doing it and still not see consequences. The system has failed so hard. It's unbelievable. And to ask somebody to have faith in a system that does that, that to me is crazy. Why would I have faith in a system that does that? That shows me, again, it's not even intent, right? Intent is not a factor in this. How you act, your behavior, actions speak louder than words. And the action that I'm seeing is that they are releasing somebody who just shot somebody in the back and claimed self-defense, had no concealed carry permit to protect a statue of a dude he probably didn't even know about until a day or two before. This dude is probably not super hype on Spanish conquistador history. I don't think he really cared about that statue until a couple of days before, because brown people didn't like the statue. It's disgusting. It's infuriating. So he's out. So that's another story. There's a lot of anger right now, which is fair. We just got to process it and let it out. Anger is healthy. We can't bottle it up, or we can't only feel good feelings. Because otherwise, if you feel those bad feelings, that's bad. That's colonization. We got to feel every feeling because it's natural. So we can be mad about this. We can be mad about these injustices that are happening. It's okay. It's okay to be mad. It's okay. We need to be mad. We need to make sure that there are consequences. Someone's got to, because obviously the state isn't. Man. Anyways, what else we got, Nick?
COVID's getting worse.
I'm sorry.
Everything's just kind of terrible right now.
So terrible right now. COVID's getting bad. Jeez. You were saying something about the, was it uranium mines were affecting the water supply out in Dnipro?
Oh, it was the coal mines. People are saying that the local coal mines on the Navajo reservation aquifers, and what had happened is that people are saying because these aquifers are being completely bone dry, it's exacerbating the problem of Navajo residents getting access to water because now it's become even more scarce. And as we have mentioned on the show before, a lot of people on the res don't have running water. And I think the statistic specifically for my reservation is at least 30% of all people who are with the tribe do not have running water. And when we're in a pandemic with COVID, one of the recommendations is, hey, you should wash your hands for 20 seconds with soap and water. And you have to think that citizens on these lands don't have the luxury to do that, and that a lot of people are going to reuse water until they can't use it anymore, when it's basically looking like dirt water. And that's when they throw it out, because if they don't reuse water in that fashion, they're going to run out of water until they have the ability to go and get water from somewhere else, whether it be bottled water or going to, because I know there's stations that the res has put up saying you could get water here, but that's still not enough. And part of the reason is because coal mining on the reservation.
And that's been an ongoing problem since before the pandemic, but now it just makes everything 10 times worse, like you said. We're seeing spikes in cases all over the place. Oregon is already seeing spikes in cases, but I'm sure we're going to see more as time goes on. We're in this for the long haul, so yeah. Try not to like end this on a bummer, but like it's really rough out there right now.
Yeah, you know, it's just the reality that we're in right now.
I will say there has been some beautiful. Yeah, it's not great, but there's been so it's Kintlani Mutual Aid, and they've been building. So they built 50 hand washing stations to distribute to communities without running water on the Dene and Hopi lands, because both the Dene and Hopi lands have been just absolutely ravaged by COVID-19. I would recommend checking out Indigenous Action on Facebook, the Indigenous Action page, and they have been posting what they've been doing. And there's emergency showers, there's hand washing stations, and they post, so on top of building these things, they also have been posting instructions, free instructions on how to build these things for your community as well. And that's been a really beautiful thing to see. So this is some Indigenous mutual aid that we've been seeing. And I'm probably going to mispronounce so many names in this. I'm so sorry. There's also the, and I'm not sure if it's the sound again, Tala Kogan Info Shop, probably Tla. But they've also been a part of it as well in constructing these things for folks all the way out on the Navajo Nation. They're also putting together mutual aid, no contact deliveries for sanitizer, like sanitizing stuff, like care packages. So food, sanitization stuff, toiletries, everything like that as well. There's a website, www.kinlanimutualaid.org. We'll post it. I'm butchering everything, but we'll post it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/RoseCityNativeRadio. We'll post it so you can see the work that they're doing, but also go to that website to help support the work that they're doing. It's so needed out there. And that's one way you can help support our relatives out there who don't have running water and don't have access to these things. I think that's a positive note, is seeing like this all coming together in that way of the Indigenous Mutual Aid supporting each other. There's been other things. So there's Navajo Hopi COVID-19 relief. The Diné Land and Water Healers have been bringing together all kinds of things. So they have all these boxes they've been delivering to people, and other things, hand sanitizers going out, making masks, making food, all kinds of just amazing things. So we'll be posting links to all the pictures that they've been posting and all the work that they do. So if you want to check that out, definitely could. And we'll post that on our Facebook page for you to check out. So that's a positive thing, is like the community has been coming together to try and support our relatives who are further out there and don't have access to this stuff. And that's what we need to do. The community just has to band together when the bigger government won't come to help you. And when it comes down to it, it's community. It's how we do things. Nick, any final thoughts?
I think we've covered everything.
Okay. All right. Well, with that, hope you all are doing okay. Hope you all are staying safe. I hope you had a good summer solstice. As good as it can be. The weather is nice. Well, it's getting nicer. I'm enjoying it, except for the humidity. I hate the humidity, and I will always say that until I move to a place without it. But I hope you're doing okay, wherever you are. And take some time to be. Take some time for yourself to breathe, to enjoy the changing of the seasons. If you're able to, I know that I can only enjoy it from my balcony, which is maybe like 2 foot wide. But even just standing out there and listening to hummingbirds and listening to the trees has been nice. So if you get a chance, go outside, even if it's just for 15 minutes, just get some sun, get some air, wear a mask though. Wear a mask, wash your hands, always wear a mask. It may seem like everyone else is moving on with their lives from COVID-19 as other things have been taking the forefront of what we've been seeing, but please remember we are still in a pandemic, and it's only going to get worse from here. Please wear a mask. Please wash your hands. Please take care of yourself. Nick, again, any final things you want to say to our audience before we end this?
Thanks for listening.
Yes, thank you. By the way, thanks for listening. Yeah. Grateful for you all to listen. Nick, thank you so much for recording and sticking with us as we do our low res version of the show.
Yeah, and, thanks for having me.
Yeah, yeah. And that's it, everybody. Stay tuned for more cool stuff coming up next.
To center myself so I could surrender to self and actually be of help. A sense that was commonly felt before we felt the doubt. L-O-V-E, do we have to spell it out? Higher thans, making us feel like we're villains. Now internalized, machines are telling us to settle down. We're not selling out to what you peddle now. Robots are treading on unsettled grounds. They secure the privatizing, criticize those who aren't disconnected to the many lives. Whoa, this is protest music for the many lives. Whoa.
that stroke the side of the box, making medicine smoke. There are torches to be passed that breathe dots that provoke a deeper way of thinking if that fire stays stoked. Is history trying to repeat itself, or is history trying to correct itself? You gotta check yourself before you wreck yourself. Respect yourself, brother, protect yourself. There were threats to your health, but you in debt as well. What is fresh in a poison well? Poke holes in a pail so my flesh is impaled and the oil spill. Gotta boil it well. The foul is smell, sour is stale. The foul is a whale in a ship with a black sail. The power will fail, these cowards are pale. Our powers come now when these hours prevail. True powers unveil, our hearts are still beating the drums. We breathing from lungs that free from the sun. Seeds grow into trees, the leaves has sprung in the spring. With the songs are sung, the frequency frequently. Breathing is one, we steal the beings. Human is some, our veins in the rivers that run. Rivers repent for the red and you. Don't like revolution or rebellious shoes. There's a fourth thing to whom, once we phrase revving ends as the revenue. The rebel you is red blood in you. Send the red and blue to reveal your view. Evolution, a spirit that dwells in you. They put a spell on you, put hell on you. That's when the weight of the world just fell on you. Native talk speaks and they tell on you. This feels like residential school. It appeals to being you for speaking your truth.
Love Portland.